L-E-T-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. We say hello to our buddy Alan Bell, CBS Sportsline. Talk a little football, sports betting with him. Alan, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, my man. You doing okay?
Oh, it's been good. It's been good. You know, last weekend was really, really good from a betting standpoint. I thought college football, it was such a great board. The NFL was okay. This week is not so much for college football, in my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I completely agree, man. It's funny. I was just talking with Chip Patterson, the guy I work with over at CBS Sports, and dude, he said the exact same thing that you just did. You know, he was talking about how week nine, you know, this week in college football, it's a little bit of a trap week, and to be careful because there's a lot of big spreads in games that, you know, are normally big rivalry games. So, yeah, I feel you, man. There's some traps out there for sure.
Well, let's start with one of those big spreads in a rivalry game that's taking place in East Tennessee. Tennessee, the third-ranked team in the country, laying 12 points at home against Kentucky. Kentucky at 5-2. Now, they had a couple of mix-ups or hiccups, I should say, but I still think that's a pretty good football team. It's a lot of points, but I am kind of leaning laying the 12 because I just think Tennessee's offense is that good.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, first off, 12's a weird number, right? But anything under 13, I would say lean Tennessee because I agree with you. You're looking at the fastest team in the SEC in Tennessee against the slowest scoring team in the SEC in Kentucky. Now, I'm not saying that as a negative. I'm with you. I love Mark Stoops. I think everything that he's done at Kentucky has been fantastic, and they've dealt with some injuries for sure. Not only, you know, for Will Levis, but at the offensive line position as well. So, the problem is that if Tennessee does what Tennessee does and scores often, like, I just don't see a way that Kentucky can keep up because kind of the same thing with Florida and Georgia, which I'm sure we'll talk about, you know, Kentucky running the football is actually going to hurt them later in the game, and it'll help Tennessee. So I would say take Tennessee with the points. I think your best bet is probably Tennessee first quarter. Around 3.5. Tennessee's outscored opponents 96-24 in the first quarter of games this season.
There's a couple of other games that intrigue me. Notre Dame getting 2.5 on the road at Syracuse. Syracuse had that tough one against Clemson, which, I mean, look, they were right there. They covered.
Yeah.
Thought they could win outright. What do you think about that one?
Man, you know what? Look, I'm going to say this. I'm rolling with Syracuse. Like, I thought that last week, even though they lost the game, like, Syracuse proved more to me last week than any other games they had this season, and they've had a terrific season. Like, this is a for-real football team. Like, they can play, they're tough, and they're not afraid to fight, right? And, look, Notre Dame is not who Notre Dame usually is. I'll roll Syracuse. Like, I'll take them. If you're giving to me under 3, yeah, man, I'll take Syracuse on that.
Yeah, I like that one, too. There's one tonight that East Carolina has been kind of intriguing this year. You know, last week they were 5.5 dogs, I think it was. They won outright. They're getting 3.5 tonight on the road in Provo at BYU. Now, that's a tough place to play, but I don't think this is the same BYU that we've seen in the past. So what do you think about that one?
Yeah, dude, like, I think this could be, like, the most difficult line to play all weekend in a game that, like, nobody's really, you know, like, paying attention to, you know, all things considered. But you're right, dude, like, Provo, you know, anytime you're going, you know, west, especially Mountain West, like, those areas do get very, very difficult. But you're right, man, like, BYU's not the same team that we're used to. It used to be physical, run the football, just pound you, beat you up, play good defense, right, which is, I mean, just tough to deal with whoever you're playing, wherever you're playing. But I don't think they're the same. And East Carolina, man, like, they just keep going and keep going. I'm with you. Like, give me – I know it's kind of wild taking the points, like, on the road, but I'll roll with ECU, man. I'll take them this year.
My man. And then one more on my end for college, and then I'll let Derek go with the pros. But Cincinnati, and I've seen this at 2, I've seen it at 1.5, getting points, the 20th-ranked team, only lost one game on the road at UCF. I know UCF is 5-2, but I also don't think this is the same UCF we've seen in years past. So what do you think about that one at 2:30 tomorrow?
Dude, I don't think this is the same UCF team week to week.
No.
Like, you just don't know what you're going to get with them, right? And the hard part is that when UCF is on and Malzahn has it going, like, they could put 55 on you quickly, right? But when they're off, buddy, it is bad, really, really bad. So, this one's tough. I don't have a great feel either way, but, if I were forced to play it one way or the other, give me Cincinnati. Like, they're proven. They're more consistent. I can trust what I see. If I lose the bet, I lose the bet. But I'll roll with a team that is consistent week in and week out because you just can't trust UCF.
Now, the game I'm looking at in the NFL, the Patriots and the Jets. The Jets have been on a roll. Their defense is playing well. The Patriots have been struggling. But yet and still, the Patriots are favored to win this by 2.5.
Man, right. Like, okay, so they're going to start Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Like, and you know better than anybody, right? Like, man, like I feel like Mac Jones is going to come in ready to go. We'll see how that goes. The Jets, obviously, like you said, have been on their game, but losing Breece Hall, obviously that hurts. They make the trade, you know, for Robinson, for the running back from Jacksonville. But, you know, how much is he really going to factor into this one here? This one's tough. I'll take the Patriots under 3, but, it's just brutal. But I'll say this. Belichick can have his way with Zach Wilson, and if that thing could go south quickly, yeah, like they can pounce. I'll take New England here. I don't feel great about it, but I'll take New England here.
We're talking about Alan Bell, CBS Sports Line. Another one. The Giants have to be the worst 6-1 team in the National Football League. They go up against Seattle, and I know it's out in Seattle, and that's a hard place to play. But they're a 3-point dog, a team that's 6-1 going against a team that's 4-3. And this Giants team with Saquon Barkley has been tremendous this season. But yet, and still, they find themselves more times than not as an underdog.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you this. This is how you play it. I played this last week with the Giants, too. The New York Giants play the exact same game every week, every single week, right? Like, they'll start a little bit slow, and they scored a little bit against Jacksonville last week in the first half. But I'll fade them in the first half, and I'll take them in the second half. Now, with Seattle, like, we got to give Pete Carroll some credit out there. Like, everybody dogged him and made fun of him, you know, when they traded Russell Wilson. They're like, dude, you got Geno Smith. Like, what are you going to do? And he has been – I mean, Geno's done his thing. And the Seahawks have done their thing. And Kenneth Walker running the football, he is an absolute stud. Give me Seattle on this one because I think Kenneth Walker and I think Geno Smith, like, if you're getting them at home, yeah, man, like, that's a long trip. And Seattle, like, they don't beat themselves. Like, that's the big thing. They don't beat themselves. So I'll take the Seahawks on that.
Go green, go white.
Yes, sir.
Alan Bell is with us. So, Alan, one thing that Mike Vrabel jumped out to say to everybody on Wednesday was how well the Texans have played in the first 3 quarters. He said that they've outscored people by 20 overall during the season in quarters 1-3. That doesn't help you necessarily win football games, but from a gambling angle, I heard you talk about first quarter, first half. Have you noticed that trend?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the Texans and the Jaguars pretty much play the exact same style, and here's why they're dangerous. Because they're not – They all understand what time it is. They're not playing to win, you know, to win a Super Bowl. And I'm not saying that as a negative. What I'm saying is this, is that the coaching style, kind of, you watch that Florida-Tennessee game, and you saw Florida just going for it on fourth down, right? Like playing nothing to lose. That's how they play. That's how Jacksonville plays, and it's tough to deal with. Because if you get fourth and two, it's tough to stop those, man. So that's why, now, they don't have the roster. They don't have the team. That's why, you know, they kind of, you know, fall apart in the fourth quarter, say through Jacksonville, because you just don't have the horses yet. But Davis Mills is a good quarterback, man. Like, Houston can do some things. I'll say this. I like Tennessee in this game. I think Tennessee handles their business in this game. But that being said, I think when the Jaguars and the Titans play, I think the Jaguars could give the Titans some serious fits just because it's such an unconventional style, and Doug Peterson legitimately will go. If it's less than 4th and 7, he's going. right? And dealing with that over and over and over becomes an issue. So I think Tennessee handles their business against Houston, but Jacksonville, like, Tennessee's a better team. It's just weird, weird matchup. But yeah, like, long story short, 100%, man, they're tough to deal with the first three quarters because they just do unconventional things.
You see so many bizarre things every Sunday. Carolina just blowing out the Buccaneers with the third-string quarterback. There's always a couple of those. So what are your rules of thumb from a gambling standpoint to avoid the minefield that we get every Sunday?
Yeah, like, I'll tell you this, man, and especially, like, pretty much after, like, kind of like the COVID period, just using that, you know, as, like, the time frame, like, both college and NFL, it's legitimately week to week. Now, the NFL's always been that way, right? It's all about matchups, you know, coaching styles, et cetera. But, like, seriously, it is a week-to-week game. So what you saw last week, take some of that into effect. But the way that the styles of, you know, offenses versus defenses, offensive lines versus defensive lines, et cetera, like, it could be a completely different league. And you look at it, you're like, what am I watching? Like, this doesn't make sense because there's parity in the NFL. Like, there's like maybe two teams that are truly great, and then everybody else is not that much different from the others, right? So, yeah, like, that's my biggest thing is don't go off to, like, you know, kind of the notions and preconceptions that you have in your head. Like, take a look at the numbers because you'll see some things that'll pop out and you're like, well, this doesn't make sense in my head. What if this could happen? And generally, it usually does.
He is Alan Bell from CBS Sportsline. Rick wanted me to tell you he's fading you on Syracuse. So,
big Rick.
Notre Dame is undefeated as an underdog. So that's where he's going.
There you go on that, man. Like that, I mean, see, that was tough too. Like how long we had to ride Syracuse, right? Like,
yeah.
They continue to do this. Yeah, that's it. Watch again.
Well, appreciate the time as always, Alan. We'll do it again soon.
Man, you guys are the best. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Alan Bell, CBS Sports Line, talking a little sports betting for the weekend with him. Always enjoy his insight on that as he does a great job. We'll get into the Titans. And, you know, we talked about this some yesterday, but what is the bigger worry right now for the Two-Tone Blue? Not having Jeffrey Simmons or not having Ryan Tannehill this weekend against Houston? We'll discuss that coming up next. Catch the Eddie George Show featuring Jonathan Hutton on 102.5, 106.3 The Game on Monday at 6, live at 6 in Peabody. The Eddie George Show is brought to you by Low T Centers and Xander Insurance. Xander gives you more options. More options means more savings for you. Free quote at XanderInsurance.com.
Still several days from Sunday. How do you approach maybe Ryan through a week when maybe he's going to be limited in some practices and trying to get him ready for Sunday?
Yeah, he's a pro, you know, so it's not as much about physically him, you know, having to go through those things. He's mentally prepared. He always is. And he knows how to get himself ready to go from that standpoint. So we'll see how he progresses, and I'm sure they'll let me know before we kick off.
Chase Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. That's Mike Vrabel talking about Ryan Tannehill and where he could be, where he's at. He was officially listed as limited yesterday. We did see videos of him. Jill Jelinek tweeted this out from Fox 17 that he was working with Malik Willis, talking with him. He did have the red jersey on, but I don't know how much he really did. He didn't do anything.
Well, when the media was out there, he did nothing.
Exactly. Yeah,
he was just working with. Now, I made the joke because she had the video of him, and he's like, his hands are going this way. Mm-hmm. Now, you go out of the parking lot, you take a right, go down to the stop sign, take a left. When you get to the McDonald's, take another left. That's kind of what.
But Vrabel didn't seem optimistic that he would play.
No.
And I mean, Vrabel doesn't seem optimistic too many times about anything. It's just flatline with him. He just tell it how he sees it. So that's why, you know, when I finally saw the interaction between he and Ben Jones in the tunnel, that was heartfelt. It did touch me somewhat because it took a lot for that to come out, and it was displayed in a beautiful way to me, at least. But yeah, Vrabel, he didn't seem too optimistic. Again, I'm not optimistic about Ryan Tannehill playing. I listened to the afternoon show yesterday, and you know, the things that they were saying, Jared and Caroline. I'm not going to force Ryan Tannehill, if I'm the head coach, I'm not going to force a situation, regardless of who I'm playing. It could be the Houston Texans, who are dismal, or it could be the Buffalo Bills, who's the best team in the National Football League. We are, what, 6 games into the season. My quarterback has an ankle injury. Let's just put it at that. He hasn't practiced all week up until this point. Today's Friday. I doubt if he practices today. Why in the hell am I going to then put him out on the field if he's not a close to a 100%? I'm just not going to chance it. I don't care. This is about the long term. It's not about short term, getting him in the game and proving his toughness and all that crap. No, it's about being smart. If you're limited as a quarterback and I put you out there, that means I don't care about you. I don't, because if you can't move around, I'm not worried about last game. The way that sports work, people, is this. And Willie, you know. Chase, you know, too. I mean, you've seen it enough and, you know, you've been around it enough. If a guy gets injured during a game, say he twists his ankle, sprains his ankle, or high ankle sprain, a lot of times he can go to the sideline. They're not going to shoot you up. They're just not. They're not going to give you any medicine for that. Because by the time they give it to you and it kicks in, the game's over with. So giving you medicine makes no sense. Typically, that's done, you know, 30 minutes before a game, somewhere around there. So it gets in your system. Then it takes the pain away. They're not going to give it to you, you know, in a fourth quarter with 5 minutes left and think it's going to work. It's not going to work. You may not. It'll work 2 hours later, but the game's over with. But as you both know, when that adrenaline is pumping, it's going. You twist an ankle, or hell, I broke a scapula in a game. At halftime, I went in the locker room, came back out and played. Why? Because my adrenaline was still going. I was still in the phase of the game. It wasn't until the game was over with, I got on the plane, got home, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't move my shoulder. And I guarantee you, that's how Ryan Tannehill felt. Oh my gosh, I can't put any weight on this foot. It's not the day of the day it happens. It's subsequently the days after that. And if he hasn't practiced up until now, again, this is not a rib injury, or this is not some little, you know, toe injury. Oh, I scraped my toe, or I may have, you know, tweaked my knee just a tad bit, but I could still move. This is an ankle. With an offensive line that's not good already, why would you subject your quarterback who isn't as mobile right now, why would you subject him to getting hurt even worse than what he is? I don't understand that point.
Well, my observation is I see the gamesmanship by Mike Vrabel.
And I understand that.
He's trying to protect everything that's going on. For example, he's the first day, on Wednesday, Mike Vrabel says he'll probably be limited.
Sure.
Ryan Tannehill says it's a walkthrough today. And then he's listed as did not practice. Yesterday, during the time with the media, he doesn't do anything, but he's listed as limited. So it's kind of like they're trying to make you guess. And that's what we're doing. This has become part of what we've done all week, is just guess. None of us really know what he can do and what he can't do unless somebody gets an inside source and breaks a story, which, you know, would uncover probably some things. There's probably some things people know, but they are keeping it close to the vest. What does that do? It puts doubt. It forces the Texans to prepare for both quarterbacks. It probably helps Malik Willis in that, you know, they can behind the scenes do some things where there maybe is a little bit of element of surprise if he does have to play. But anybody who's sitting there saying, I know he's playing or I know he's not playing, is just guessing. They're just guessing. Now, I'm still very skeptical. I'm more in your corner, Derek. I'm just really concerned that, you know, he's just not going to be able to move well enough to be effective if it's the type of injury that it looked like to me. But nobody really knows. And I would expect them to just use that to their advantage and make him a game-time decision, right? The first clue will be Saturday if they elevate Logan Woodside. That'll be the first indicator. Because before that, I don't think they're going to come to the microphone today and rule him out. I'd be surprised.
No, right? I don't think so.
But you could rule him out Sunday morning if you want.
Do you buy into something that Jared and Caroline were talking about yesterday, that if you're Tannehill, you don't want Malik Willis to play?
No, I don't.
Because I don't. I don't buy into that.
That is 0%. Absolutely nothing
again,
to do with it.
Again, even if Malik Willis goes out there and have a, you know, who was the quarterback? Flynn for Green Bay when he threw for four touchdowns, five touchdowns, somewhere around that. Even if Malik Willis goes out there and do that, he's still not the starting quarterback. If Ryan Tannehill is healthy, 100% ready to go the next following week, you know who will be underneath center? Ryan Tannehill.
Here's something else you said, Derek, that I think I agree with. As a competitor, it's got nothing to do with the backup. The hardest thing is to tell your coach or your teammates, I can't go. You know, it just burns you. You don't want to do that. That's what drives guys to play hurt, right? They want to be there for their teammates. It's not like, oh my gosh, if I don't play, I'm going to lose my job. That's not how it works. It's, I got to be there for my teammates. If I can play, I want to be in there. That's what drives a guy to play hurt. But there comes a point where somebody's got to say, Ryan, you can't do the things you can do normally. We're better off with the other guy. So that's where you got to be a good teammate, and just if that's the decision that's made.
Anybody that's a starter or anybody that's a backup, you know, you want to be out there as much as you possibly can, and you will suffer through, you know, whatever injury that you have. Like for me, had a broken scapula. I didn't continue to play because I was scared of the guy behind me.
Right.
That had nothing to do with me. I didn't care. I didn't even think about the guy behind me. I wanted to play because I wanted to be out there with the guy.
Yes.
I wanted to help win in any way I could. That's why I went. It had nothing to do with me being scared. Oh, somebody's going to take my position. Or if he has a good game, then everybody's going to be screaming on the sideline, why isn't this guy playing? And then the news people are going to say something. Then the head coach is going to get pressure. Then he's going to put the guy in. Hell no. I just wanted to be out there with the guys. Ryan, I'm not saying Ryan wants to be out there with the guys. But it has nothing to do with, oh, Malik might take my job. It's just he wants to be out there. But it comes a point in time, like you said, Willie. And I think Vrabel is this type of coach. Hey, Ryan. Hey, bud, I know you want to be out there. We want you out there. But it would be better if Malik's out there this week. And Ryan would probably like, I get you, coach. Whatever it takes for the team to win, that's what Ryan's remarks would be. His response would be, whatever it takes for the team to win, I'm good with it. All right, then, let's go.
Let's do it. 615-737-1025. We'll get your calls, get your texts on this coming up next. But how could Todd Downing scheme for Tannehill knowing that he's limited? We'll continue that discussion coming up next here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Shane, what's been the key to maybe the defensive improvement since the over the last four games?
Yeah, I mean, I think last week we finally got the X play burden off our back a little bit. I think they had one play for 20 yards, and that was really it. And I think our guys just have continued to fight. Like, it hasn't been perfect by any means. But ultimately, I think early on, the X plays overshadowed a lot of the good stuff we were doing. So, I mean, I think when you eliminate those, you got a chance to be really good. And hopefully that trend continues for us.
Shane Bowen talking about the defense and keys to improvement that they've had over the last few weeks. Welcome back in, Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. And look, the defense is going to play a huge factor, even more so maybe than they have the last few weeks, because whether it's Ryan Tannehill or it's Malik Willis, they're going to have to make plays against a team that really hasn't been able to get it going offensively in the Houston Texans. But I'll ask you guys this. Let's say that they decide Saturday or Sunday morning that Tannehill's not 100%, but he's going to go. They're going to, for the good of the team, whatever, he's going to play. If you're Todd Downing, how do you change your scheme to work with Ryan Tannehill that won't have his full mobility?
You have to lean more on Derrick Henry. More than you have thus far. And they could go out and say, listen, you know, Ryan Tannehill at 75%, it would be better for us moving forward. We just, you know, hope and pray that, he doesn't, you know, no one falls on his ankle or he doesn't, you know, make it worse than what it is. But you have to, whatever you do, if his mobility is restricted, it has to be within the guard box. You can't do anything, you know, stretch plays where he has to run and stretch and give it to Derrick Henry close to the tackle box or a little bit outside the tackle box. Everything has to be downhill, giving the ball to Derrick Henry. You can't put him, you know, if you want to throw the football, it has to be done on a shotgun. It can't be done out of underneath the center and him, you know, doing 3, 5, 7 steps drops if he's not, you know, close to 100%, because he showed that he barely could do it toward the end of the game last week. This week, you figure, you know, they're going to have that thing taped up even stronger, and it's going to be like a cast. What makes you think he's going to be able to do it this week? So everything that you do,
and he's
has
not
to,
a pocket
exactly.
QB.
Everything you do has to be from the guard to the guard box. You know, giving the ball to Derrick Henry. That's why I said it. Derrick Henry and Dontrell Hilliard need to be featured heavily this game, because Ryan, you know, judging from last game, the end of last game, he just doesn't have the mobility to do some of the things that he would otherwise do if he wasn't injured.
And really, it sounds drastic, but in reality, they've already been kind of limited to start with, because they can't protect any quarterback long enough to really run a lot of slow developing plays. They have to do a lot of max protect. They have to do a lot of pass plays that not a lot of guys are in the pattern. They're going to run it a lot anyway. So I just think you take that extra step, you're going to be limited even more if he can't slide up and down in the pocket, if he can't escape like he normally does. That just takes a dimension away. And so I think you have to call the plays accordingly. It's just going to restrict. I think it's going to be a very conservative game plan, a lot of heavy run, and that will be the case regardless of who's playing quarterback. I think the mentality is going to be, I want my offense to run the ball against a team that doesn't defend the run very well. No turnovers. If we've got a punt, we've got a punter who's got a great leg. Let's rely on special teams. And we believe that it's more likely than not the Texans will crack. We know how to win. Texans don't know how to win. And we'll find a way with a restricted offense.
Or
no turnovers.
Or they can do this. They can take a page out of Indy's playbook from not last week, but the week before. If you got a quarterback that isn't as mobile, and in Ryan's Tannehill case, you know, because of the injury, he may be restricted. Well, if that is indeed the case, and you don't want to just be heavy run, you don't want to be that predictable. Well, everything has to be quick game. Everything has to be, you gotta get those guys out, three or four receivers, get them outside, and everything has to be quick. He must get the ball out of his hands in like 2 seconds. And if it's not out, you gotta find an outlet quickly.
Yeah, or throw it away.
Exactly. If you don't want to make it so predictable that you're running the ball consistently, if you want to have some type of balance, it has to be the quick game. It has to, and you gotta spread them out. You have to. It's almost like this double-edged sword, because if you spread them out, now you leave your offensive linemen one-on-one with blockers.
Right, which they're not great at.
But Houston, at least to my knowledge, I don't think they have any, you know, pass rushers that are A1 guys. You know, you feel that, okay, you can hold up for 2 seconds.
Front.
Exactly. It's not Washington's front.
Like, Washington can get after the passer. They've got some guys who can come at you. The Colts do, too. So this is not as ferocious a front, so maybe you can protect a little bit better. But I think this is a defense field position. If you got to win 19-13, that's totally fine.
6-3?
6-3, that'll work. Winning ugly is part of what the Titans do. Let's get number 22 going. Let's do everything we can. Everybody knows we're going to run it. Houston knows we're going to run it. I'm curious to see how much Lovie Smith and that defense cheats to try to stop Henry. Or do they just say, look, he's going to run on us. Let's make sure that he doesn't go wild on it, and let's stop him in the red zone. I don't know. My guess is they're going to dare the Titans to have to throw to win, which is why it's so important not to fall behind, not to have that bad mistake that allows the Texans to get ahead. Here's the other part of the question. Jace, you heard Shane Bowen talking about the defense. Mm-hmm. They've done a very good job of limiting explosive plays. That's what they want to do. He emphasizes that every time he goes to the podium. But can you have the dominating game on defense if Jeffrey Simmons isn't 100%? He still hasn't practiced. I'm curious what his status is today.
Yeah, that might...
Two straight days not
Look,
practicing.
I think it's crazy. I think Jeffrey Simmons being out is a bigger deal than Ryan Tannehill. I mean, as crazy as that may sound, against Houston, just because I think there's going to be such an emphasis on the defense that you really need Jeffrey Simmons in there. I think you can live with Malik Willis because you have Derrick Henry, and you're just adding more to the run game with Malik Willis. You scheme it that way, but you don't have Jeffrey Simmons. That's tough.
Yeah, because you have no one you can lean on defense, because Bud Dupree still, he's not 100%. He's dealing with a hamstring, and we all know how hamstrings are. You can start the game, you can play a quarter, but then after that, you may be gone for the rest of the game. So now, not only are you down Jeffrey Simmons potentially, but you're down Bud Dupree as well. So having Jeffrey Simmons, to me, like you, Chase, is probably the bigger issue, because of what he does for that defense, because of Bud Dupree being injured, because you don't have Harold Landry on that front line.
Exactly. So we'll see what they end up coming up with. And, you know, like you said, we may get a clue tomorrow if they end up calling up Logan Woodside from the practice squad, but I still don't think that'll tell us the whole story of whether Tannehill is going to be a go or not. Vrabel is going to address the media sometime in the 12 o'clock hour, so we'll see what he is able to offer from that standpoint. 615-737-1025. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. First, Willie, tell us about QC Kinetics.
All right, people here in our listening area are getting relief from QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics helps people with joint pain, chronic arthritis, things like that. QC Kinetics really has a formula that's been working for people. They're the nation's leader in regenerative medicine, and they now have three clinics in our listening area, Nashville, Clarksville, and Murfreesboro. So if you are active and you've got an injury right now, your shoulders, your back, your hips, maybe it's arthritis, maybe you've had surgery, maybe you haven't, but maybe the regular treatments you've been going through have not been effective for you, try the regenerative medicine. The tissue in your joint can be repaired and restored through QC Kinetics. They give you pain-free movement. No drugs, no steroids, no downtime, no surgery. So this is something you owe it to yourself to explore. It might be perfect for you. Get the second opinion. It's a free consultation. Appointments are available as soon as next week. So it starts with a phone call. 615-249-4024. QC Kinetics, Nashville, Clarksville, and Murfreesboro. 615-249-4024.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, feeling some California love today. Live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios, 1025, 1063, The Game. Hey, be sure to play Silly Underdog Picks. Let this go for a second. Pick three underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. Play now at thegamenashville.com or 1025, The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports. Voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Nick Kieser, literally on the ones and twos right now. Taking your calls, your texts. 615-737-1025. Talking about the Titans. Let's go to our phone line and hear from Mike. Has a question for D-Mace, which asked D-Mace coming up at 12:30. Blink-182 tickets on the line. But Mike, Welcome in.
Ooh, well, I mean, unfortunately, I know I can't go to that concert already, but I could have saved it for that, but it's okay. D-Mace, now don't take this in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. By no means am I trying to offend Steve McNair or anybody in that realm of quarterback, but you played with Steve. He had injuries what felt like his entire career. And he would sit out some of practice and would miss some of practice to be able to kind of, I guess, to heal up and get prepared for the game. What – two-part question, and again, try to answer – without trying to make Tannehill and McNair the same way, because that's not what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. But, like, how did Steve prepare during the week to when you knew, like, it was an injury that he was going to play through versus an injury you knew he couldn't play through? And then what makes Tannehill's situation different than, say, what Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, some of the guys that have still been doing it, I guess, during the last couple of years I've seen. I hope you can answer. You know where I'm going without trying to be offended.
No, I understand what you're saying, what you're trying to say or what you are saying, Mike. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. We appreciate it. With Steve, what we would see was, you know, we would come in, Steve would be on the training table, you know, before we even got there. He would be there, I guess, around 5:30 in the morning, and everybody would start rolling in around 6:30, and Steve would be getting treatment, and he would continue that throughout the day. He would, you know, go through a walkthrough just to sort of see what's going on. He would have his playbook with him on a training table. You know, he would come out once we were in team, and he would watch practice, but he would spend the bulk of his time with his playbook and getting treatment and watching film. And I'm sure that's what Ryan is doing. But I can't recall with Steve he ever had any, like, ankle injuries or knee injuries. All his injuries, I mean, they were bad injuries, but they were, like, upper body injuries that he had to deal with. And listen, those injuries, too, the injuries that he had were bad. And, you know, I think that's why he ultimately retired a little bit earlier, because those injuries just took a toll on his body.
We had a great discussion yesterday about if the rules were mm-hmm. how they are today, how much time – and effectiveness would that have added mm-hmm. to Steve McNair's career?
Oh, I think it would have been. Some, he wouldn't have got the hit the times he I got mean, hit.
I think he would have. His numbers would have been even greater.
I think his
career length would have been a lot longer.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
He still would have taken his shots, but I think his prime window would have been way, way bigger.
Well, he wouldn't have took a lot of those shots that he took, because a lot of those shots he took were, like, devastating shots. And back then, you could take them. That's just the way it was.
Quarterbacks got hit.
Exactly. They got hit. They were part of the game.
They got slammed down.
You were part of the game, you get hit.
Well,
you got a helmet, you get hit.
Case in point, remember the epic playoff game against the Ravens in 2000? People don't remember this, but Neil O'Donnell had to come into the game mm-hmm. for a series. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yeah.
And why? Because Tony Siragusa,
the
late Tony Siragusa, may he rest in peace, but he slammed mm-hmm. Steve McNair down on the turf. And I don't think Steve McNair was the same after that. He was battling through. He had to sit out for a series or so. And when he came back in, it was tougher for him. But that's what you could do to the quarterback.
Yeah.
That wasn't even penalized in that game.
It wasn't penalized.
Now you cannot do that. You cannot slam the quarterback down on his shoulder like that.
You didn't think it would be penalized. But, I mean, you know, Steve dealt with a lot of upper body injuries. Very seldom that I think he dealt with, like, an ankle injury or whatnot, to a point where it put him that we thought, like, man, he's not going to play.
He can't move.
He can't move. That's where it's different, I think, in this situation. Now, I could be wrong about Steve. I know he, you know, dealt with some ankle sprains or whatnot, but I don't think he dealt with a high ankle sprain or something that, you know, that we knew, like, man,
a high ankle sprain is unique.
Exactly.
It's unique. And I would say you got to look at Ryan Tannehill. Since he's become the starter for the Titans, mm-hmm. this is the first time he's really dealt with this. He has not missed a start.
That's what people don't understand. And again, listening to Jared, he's going to play. He's going to play. He's just one of those guys. And they're right. He is one of those guys that, like, listen, if I can play, I'm a play. But he's never dealt with an injury like this since he's been a Titan. He's never dealt with his mobility being restricted as a quarterback, and he leans on his ability to move around in the pocket because of the offensive line. He leans on his ability to get outside the pocket, extend the play, and make a play down the field or run. He thrived. That's good for him. If he can't do that because of the ankle, then it severely limits him as a quarterback on what he can do for you leading your team. And they understand that. The Titans understand that. So my thing is, yeah, Ryan's one of those guys that is he's going to try to play at all by all means, but he hasn't dealt with an injury, at least to my knowledge, since he's been here, where it's an injury that's going to restrict his mobility. You know, stepping up in the pocket, taking a, you know, just taking a simple handoff, I mean, taking a simple snap from the center and then taking a three-step drop. Well, all of that is going to be compromised because of an ankle injury. So is it better that you play with them, or is your team better this week to play without them? Not because who they're playing necessarily, but because who they got to play moving forward.
And is there a blend? I do think that's a possible thing that to consider is you run certain plays with him, but then you run Malik Willis in for a package of plays. You kind of see what's working.
Well,
is that a possibility, or does that screw up the game plan?
That's my question. Does that work, or do you see what happened Monday night with New England when Bill basically went into it with we're going to use two, and you know the old phrase, if you got two, you don't have one.
But you have a totally different skill set with Malik Willis. So that's what I wonder if you could get into a rhythm.
Sure.
Now, maybe the other team is going to know.
I don't think they're going to take that route. This is what I truly believe. And listen, nothing is 100% when you're talking, you know, football other than somebody got to lose, somebody got to win, or there may be a tie. So, but if he's restricted in any way, and this is what I believe the Titans will do after, if they find out today, like, okay, it's not getting any better. It's not getting worse, but it's not getting any better. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We are not going to rule you out. We're going to make you the backup. All right? And the only way you get in the game is if something happens to Malik Willis. That's it. That's the only way you get in the game. Because I go back to the year we went to Pittsburgh, Neil was the quarterback. Steve wasn't supposed to play. Steve was dealing with a sternum injury. Yep. He wasn't supposed to play at all. But they dressed him in case. But they had no plans on him playing. Steve didn't have plans on playing. He didn't warm up, period. Steve didn't warm up until Neil got hurt. Steve was on the sidelines. He threw about three or four passes and said, let's go. That was his warm-up.
Yeah, and that's all he needed.
Exactly. To me, that's how you use Ryan Tannehill in this scenario. Listen, it doesn't matter who we're playing. That's not the point. The point is the season, the whole season moving forward. So if we can play Malik Willis this week, we'll have you as the backup, and if anything happens to Malik, I'm not talking about, you know, we're losing or he's playing bad. No. If he gets hurt, then we turn to Ryan Tannehill and say, we need you. This is what we're asking you to do. Hand the ball off. We may ask you to throw a pass here and there, but you're going to hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. That's the way you do it.
There is some breaking news out of the NFL. The Bucs have taken a big blow. Shaq Barrett has suffered a torn Achilles and will be out 7 to 9 months, per Adam Schefter.
Wow. And also it's looking like Ja'Marr Chase out 4 to 6 weeks, they're saying, for the Bengals, which would be right on the edge, whether it's 4 to 6, whether he'd be back for the game against the Titans.
Mm. Yeah. And look, it's that time
of year.
That's
a game-changing player right there.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So whether if he's in when they play the Titans or he's out, that's a big, big thing.
Well, cue the T. Higgins show, because that's
and he's been hurt. He has not been as good the last few weeks.
He has, for sure. So there you go, around the NFL. Coming up next, we'll jump into the big one on Rocky Top this week, Kentucky, Tennessee. That is next. Chase, Will, and D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game.
L-E-T-E-N-E-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.